I'm excited about it. Jillian's going to be coming and sharing a little bit about an opportunity that we have to really be more and more of our namesake as Warren Community Church. And so, Jillian, you want to come and share a little bit? So, opportunity for you to be a part of that. So, go ahead, Jillian.
Yeah, so I'm really excited about what's happening right now with our outreach to our local schools. We're partnering alongside Sierisma Elementary and Pearline Elementary, and those are both within the Warren Consolidated District. So back in November, you might remember, we had the opportunity to make treats for the parent-teacher conferences. We just got some feedback what a blessing that was. Simple, you put together cookies and brownies, and these teachers remember how loved they are. It's in the little things, and that was really cool. So now we have an opportunity to partner back with Sierisma. We were invited in by the principal, so we're going to be providing a lunch on March 8th. So we definitely need volunteers for that if you're interested in cooking. We'll be going and serving the meal, so that's cool because we'll have that face-to-face interaction with the teachers, and then we'll be cleaning up as well. So if you're interested in that, I have clipboards on those two, and then middle section, I can give you papers. And then also, Sierisma invited us in to help with their mobile food pantry that they're starting, and that's through Gleaners. So once a month, Gleaners will come in, and they'll be dropping off food for the families there. And I wanted to share with you, I guess I was kind of aware there was a need in our schools, but not how desperate. And they were sharing that they started a program where they're going to give kids a backpack full of food to go home during the weekend. And it was very discreet. They put it in a backpack so no other kids knew what they were getting. And they found out that this backpack that was meant to sustain one child for a weekend was feeding the whole family for that weekend. And that's all they had. So now's our opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We're being invited in as the church, which is kind of rare in today's age. So if you want to be a part of that, I definitely encourage you to come talk to us and we'll plug you in.
Is that on the sign-up sheet?
Yeah, so I have two different sign-up sheets. The one for the school luncheon, it has your name, phone number, and then kind of what you want to help out with. Whether you want to donate something, cook, or serve at the school. And then just the mobile food pantry, just put your name and your phone number, and that just kind of gauges interest, and then I'll connect with you.
And that's going to be from 8 till 10 once a month?
8:30 to 10:30 once a month with dates coming soon. We're going to meet with the principal this week and Gleaners and kind of find out more details.
So what an awesome opportunity. I'm really excited about Jillian's connections that she's building there. And were they the lunch people going to meet right after church? Yeah, so if you want to be a part of the lunch crew, why don't you guys maybe meet in the sisters' room right outside the door, and they're going to kind of just get some, figure out what they're doing and how they're going to provide that. So I think we've got about three or four people already, five people I think that are interested in being a part of that. So just meet right after church in the sisters' room right outside this room, and Jillian and the ladies and folks will help out with that. Pretty cool, isn't it? I mean, that is something that we need to be excited about. Anytime we are getting outside and ministering to our neighbors that live around us, we are doing what Jesus left us here to do. And so I'm really excited about that. That's probably one of the more things I'm probably most excited about, what's going on in our church. Excited about a lot of things, but that one in particular. So thanks, Jillian. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. It's in the New Testament, almost towards the back of your Bibles if you're learning your way around there. Right after Thessalonians, before Titus and Hebrews. This is a letter that Paul was writing to young Timothy, one of his proteges, one of the people he was building into. And he had some good words about how to live our lives as believers. We've been talking about happiness. If you had to use one word to describe the United States, what would that word be? Let me hear it louder. Affluent. Blessed, a mess, chaos, chaotic, huh? Freedom, conflict, angry, divided. Now, interesting, we hear some from different perspectives. We're blessed, and yet we're angry and divided. But isn't that, aren't they both true in ways? We are blessed, that is true. Happy was not a word that was used to describe us. And I don't think that in a lot of ways, broadly speaking, we are happy. I went to research something, and I did it as most people do. Hey, Google! I said, how to be happy. I was curious to find out what the top things are. They had lots of lists of here, the top four things, the top eight things on how to be happy. They typically focused on find meaning for yourself and what you do. Do something that's meaningful. Or meditate and find what? Yourself. I think I might have some reverb on my mic, so if we could maybe take that off. Gratitude was one of them. Be thankful. They never said who they were thankful to, just glad that you've got what you got. That was pretty much glad that I got what I got. Because God was never mentioned, zero mention of God and how to be happy. You know how much time we spend on average on, Terry's got my phone. I don't need it. On one of those things that hold up. What do you think? On average. I kind of averaged out. There's a range, but a day. 5-6 hours? 3? 10? 10 minutes? I don't think that's the average, maybe for you. I saw 3 hours, 6 hours. I figured somewhere 4 to 5 hours. We average about $80 a month on our phones, on our digital, just phones. That's almost $60,000 in your lifetime that we spend on this thing that we use to make ourselves happy. You know? Of course, now we have the big thing about Mr. Jussie Smollett, right? Who faked a letter, a threatening letter to the show Empire that he's on. Why? More money? But I don't think it was just more money. Attention. It was more fame. He wanted more notoriety, right? And so here's a guy that's making $127,000 per episode on a show that's very popular. He's worth $1 million, and he felt that it was worth pretending to suffer what people today and throughout history actually suffer. He pretended it. Why? For me. Did you see the 15-minute interview? Lied through the whole thing. Why? I want people to think well of me. I want people to somewhat of our victim. You know, it's great to be a victim today. And he bought into that. We want what we want. We want what others have. We want what other people tell us we should have because they said I should have it, so now I need it, right? You know how much the Detroit casinos made? You were right, a lot. $112 million. Not last year, that was in January. I know, wow, that was my thought. Wait, what? $112 million came in to three casinos in one city in 1 month. You know how much they took in for 2018? $1.44 billion. Three Detroit casinos. Almost $1.5 billion. Why? People want happy. They either want the money that's going to make them happy, or they want the what they're doing to make, you know, there to make them happy. You know what? You know what the budget of the city of Detroit was for 2018? It was $2.1 billion. We took in more than half of Detroit's budget. They took in at the casinos. That just blew my mind. I'm sorry. And I'm not one of those, you know, oh, you cannot ever buy a lottery ticket. I'm not going to try to. I don't think gambling is something that you want to spend a lot of your time and money on. But come on. $1.44 billion in a year? What could we have done with $1.44 billion? A lot. You know, we idolize the rich, we idolize the famous, we idolize the lifestyles, right? We seek to have more and more and more and more and more, and we are less and less and less. Yeah, less and less happy. What's the one thing that we seek to have less of in our nation? What has been on a continual decline over these last 50 years? Yeah, well, common sense, I wouldn't disagree with that. But God, yeah. Let's stand as we read our verse for today. Let's read together. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful destroyers that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Lord, I'm praying for happy, for joy today for us. Teach us, Lord God, how to find what you've wanted for us all along. God, help us to find it. In Jesus' name, and amen. You may be seated. So he says, we brought nothing into this world. Have you ever heard that? You came in with nothing, you'll be leaving with nothing, right? Some people heard it differently as they were children. We won't go into that, but you know what? Paul said, you know what? But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Food and clothing. We'll be content with that. Could you be happy if that's what God planned for you? Food and clothing. It's an interesting question, isn't it? Could I be happy with simply just food and clothing? He says, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap. Many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. It says, he talks about some have wandered from the faith because of greed and have pierced themselves with many griefs. That's the path that leads us on. Materialism, greed, keeping up with the Joneses. You know, we don't hear that so often, but it is throughout our culture. It's keeping up with the celebs. It's keeping up with the latest styles. It's keeping up with what the media is making popular. You know, It's the media. It's, you know, the celebrities think that they're artists, and I'm doing my own thing. Half the time, they are directed by their record companies on just what they're going to be doing, the songs they'll be singing, and the content, and that's reality. We think, oh, I'm going to be different, and I'm going to be unique, and I'm going to follow this trend. And what we're really doing is we're just following after what some people in a conference room decided was going to be the next latest style. That is the reality. That is the reality. All these things become what Paul described as a temptation and a trap, that we've just got to, I've got to have the latest and greatest. It's talks about the love of money. We've heard that before. Money's not the root of all evil, is it? It's just a piece of paper. It's no value. It's the love of this, the gotta have. And it's not just money. I gotta have what the other person has. I gotta have a cool phone. I've gotta have a nice car. I've gotta have. That is the root of all evil. It's the gotta haves. If I just had, then I would be happy, right? And people don't usually say that, do they? If I just had a boyfriend, then I'd be happy. If I just had, fill in the blank, then I'd be happy. And it's not just money. This is not a message on money. It's a message on popularity. It's a message on security. I need to have all of my ducks in a row so that when I retire, I've got it all set. Fill in the blank. It's whatever we gotta have that keeps us from godliness with contentment. Even if it's, I have food and clothing, and I'll be content with that. And honestly, we don't want to hear the idea of, you got to stop that if you want to be happy. You've got to stop desiring and not being happy until I have. We want to have what we want to have, but we also want to be happy and content. And you know what Paul is saying? It can't happen. You cannot have your cake and eat it too. You know what that term means? Oh, what a beautiful cake. It's so beautiful. Somebody made a beautiful cake for you. Thank you. It's so wonderful. I just love all the work that went into it. It's beautiful, but it looks delicious. So if I eat it, it's no longer beautiful. It's now in my stomach, not very beautiful. But I want it to be able to look at it, but I want to eat it. You can't have your cake and eat it at the same time. You're going to give up looking at it to eat it, or you're going to look at it and not be able to look, you know, eat it. You cannot desire and covet the world and be happy. The two do not happen at the same time. Have you ever stopped and just said, we're frustrated with yourself or felt badly about yourself because I just couldn't fill in the blank? I couldn't have that. I couldn't do that. I wanted to be that. I wanted to have that. And I'm just not happy until. That's that. Contentment is saying, you know what? Letting go. I'm letting go. Godliness with contentment. It's great gain. It's great gain. Paul looked at it this way. He says he was in jail. That's Paul. Didn't know what Paul looked like, did you? Paul was in jail. Paul was not happy. Well, he was happy, actually. He was happy. But he was in jail, and he was in need. And the Philippian church was wanting to help him. And so he said in chapter 4, verse 10, he said, look, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. They had helped him out in the past. And he says, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to help me. You had no opportunity to show your concern. He says, I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. It would have been great if you could have helped me. But you know what? You couldn't help me. And that's okay too. That was Paul. He said later on, Philippians 4:13, that's a wonderful memory verse, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Yeah, I can do this. Why? Because I've let go. I heard a story from a guy as I was researching some of the financial class that we're going to do. The guy had wrestled with this letting go of stuff, and he finally came to that place of being able to do that. And he was driving down the road, and something happened, and the car rolled into a ditch. And he's like, Lord, this is your car. Why would you do this to your car? Right? And then he's like, well, it's your car. So I guess you've got a reason. So, okay. I'm okay. I've learned that whether in need or in plenty, whether my car is driving great or my car is in a ditch, I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances. Like, you know what? It's not easy to come to that place. How do we come to that kind of letting go? It's a contentment that comes from someone much bigger than me. I was thinking about this saying. I've got it in my sermon note, a page of just reminders about when I'm preparing a sermon. And somebody, I think Bill brought it up. And I'm like, I was planning on sharing that in this message. Christianity is not a teaching religion. It's a supernatural reality. It's not just, here's a lot of great sayings and things that will guide your life and help you to be smarter and wiser. It's not that at all. It's a supernatural reality of Emmanuel. God came to earth. That's the reality of our faith. Not the wisdom that's also a part of it. It's not just an idea that we believe. It is a practical reality that we experience, right? It's not a teaching religion. It's a supernatural reality because there's an all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present at all times God who loves you and loves me. That's the supernatural reality. And Paul tells Timothy in verse 11, but you, man of God, young man, who's just learning and growing how to be a pastor, you, man of God, flee from all of these enticements of hanging on to the worldly things. Flee from all that. Not just, I'll play around with it and kind of, maybe I'll get a few more of these things. Flee from it. Does that mean you never touch money? What's the root of all evil? Loving it. Ooh. I love the sound of this stuff. I can do this, I can do that. He says, flee that. Flee the love of money, the temptations, the traps that money is. Did you know that there is freedom and contentment? There truly is. There is an ability to go, I'm not stressing about this anymore. Right? There's a freedom that comes in letting go of the gotta have. Gotta have it leaves us like, am I going to get it? Can I get it? How do I get it? When will I get it? How am I going to keep it now that I've got it? There is a freedom that comes in letting go of the gotta have this, gotta be this. You can let go of having it all. How? By knowing that there is a God who loves me and I can trust him. It's a practical, supernatural reality that happens in our lives when we not just think about these things, but trust and say, no, God really is real. He will take care of my needs. He's in the midst of this wrecked car. And I'm okay with that. I'm letting go of that. God is good, right? You can look in the mirror, even in the morning. Those that are laughing loudest have to do the most doctoring. No, I'm kidding. You can let go and be happy with that person in the mirror. Say, that's okay, it's good. I'm happy with who you made me to be. You can be happy. And not that we don't seek to improve ourselves. We can do that, certainly. It doesn't mean that you never try to change or grow or improve your situation. It doesn't mean you never try to make money, right? What it means is that I don't, what? Love that money. Make that a higher priority more than my God, my Jesus, my Lord, right? You can be content with a 14-year-old car. In fact, you can be excited when you're just that close to turning 210,000 miles. Yes! I'm going to get my money out of that thing. You know what? I don't have to have the latest and greatest, right? You can be okay with skipping a $100 cable bill every month and say, you know what? I don't have to figure out how to make that happen. I can just be content with a lot of other things, right? There's so many things we can just be content with. We can find ourselves looking at our marriages completely differently. Rather than, I wish that person, they should be this, they could be this, or why aren't they that? I can be content with who God has given me and seek to be a blessing to them, right? Does that mean we don't try to improve or help our spouse to improve? We wouldn't be a very good friend or spouse. But we find ourselves content, and we're going from this to, I'm just going to love this person, right? It's a humbling recognition of an infinite, limitless God. And me, little tiny me, under this awesome, practical reality of a supernatural God. That God is good, he is right, so I can trust him when I seek to live a godly life, right? I can be like him and live like he calls me to live and know that it's good. I don't have to worry that God's going to lead me into something that's going to make me unhappy. I can trust him. There's freedom in letting go of that. So we can skip that popular show that everybody watches it. But if you're honest with yourself, it's half pornography. It's stuff that God would say, I love those actors that are in that show, but I hate what they're doing. I love them too much to want them to flaunt themselves to millions of people. We can look and say, you know what? God is good. God, you're right. I don't need that. What have you ever felt that you just had to have or had to do, but you knew it was going to mean you compromise with God somehow. There was a part of you that just said, I really want that. But there's another part of you that said, I really know God is not pleased with that. That's where the rubber meets the road of saying, contentment. God, I want to honor you. I want to honor you in what I do. It's faith in the reality of God. Learning through experience that he is good. And godliness, seeking to be like God in the way I live, with contentment, seeking to say, Lord, whatever you've put in my life or whatever you have not put in my life, it's good. It's okay. It's so good. It made me think of when I was becoming a pastor. I was back in the 2000 and 2001 and 2002, I was a part of a technology team at a company called Plant Moran. I worked in their technology department, and I was doing well. They paid their people well. And I went, that time I went into my supervisor's office and said, I'm putting in my 2-week notice. I'll be starting at a church as a pastor, an associate pastor, knowing that I was going to be probably taking about an $8,000 or $10,000 a year hit on my salary. And I was okay. I knew that God was going to be in it. And you know what? You know what that felt like for that year? I didn't feel a thing because God provided. Honestly, I look back and after a few years, I'd be like, we're actually doing as well or better than we were doing before. God provides. We learned practically that we have a supernatural reality that God truly does meet us in our need. We never stopped giving. We have been somebody that has believed that Scripture teaches throughout and in different ways the principle of the tithe, that we give a tenth of what God has blessed us with. It's all His. We're just giving a tenth back. And God has blessed us every step of the way. Every step of the way. And so we're grateful. And He showed Himself faithful. You know, that peace gives you a power. It gives you a strength. It gives you the type of a walk that makes it hard to knock you down. You know, when we're like, I've got to hang on to this, and when that's all we're hanging on to, we can get knocked down when that thing gets taken away from us. But when I'm like, Lord, I don't need this, I can leave that and say, Lord, you can either leave it in my hands, or you can take it away. Either way is fine. Either way is fine. You don't get knocked off your pedestal. You don't get knocked off your perch that way because you're not hanging on to things that are unstable. Because we have, what's the wise man built his house upon the rock? What's a wise man that built his house upon the rock? He's the one that heard the word of God and obeyed. Yeah. And that's where our foundation comes from. There's a strength and a freedom in that. I'm just going to close with a song. Those that come on our house of prayer, times of prayer, we've sung this one a number of times. It'll may be new to you. But it's just the heart cry of saying, Lord, I want to be where you are. I want to do what you do. I want to see things the way you see things. And I want to sing it once just to familiarize you with it. And then I'm just going to give us a moment to be quiet and allow God to speak and say, what is it that is not my solid rock? What is it that is keeping me from receiving this unshakable happiness, this unshakable happiness.